Tonight we're going to look at the third idea that's covered in the opening of the letter of 1 John. And like all good things, tonight is going to start with a prayer. Heavenly Father, you have given us so much. And of what you have given us, we have deserved none of it. You give us life, you give us hope. And it's not life that is a continuation of this life, it's a brand new life. And it's not hope to where if things go right, we'll be well off. It is established and you will see it through. We thank you for everything you've done, everything you will do. And we thank you for promoting us to be your children and to live forever with you. Now we ask your blessing on this time and as always on this lesson. Amen. So, 1 John chapter 1. I started it last week and it's just going to wrap up this week. But it's not a little wimpy wrap up. It's a pretty good one. John wrote, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full." Last week, we looked at the first two things that John brought to our attention. First, this life is revealed. The new life was revealed to us, and the new life is not an extension of this life, but a brand new life which God has given to them who he has chosen. The second thing we covered last week is that the life was given to us to be experienced. It is not a life to be packed away for a future date. This life, which is life born from above, is within us and should be used to make our time on earth easier. In the passage I just read, John brings up the third point. This life is to be shared. In verse 3, he said that we, and he was referring to the apostles, had seen and heard, and they were declaring it to us. Once you experience this new, exciting life, there should be an urge to share it with others. What John had in mind is witnessing, not debating different religious practices or sitting down and comparing churches. What John had in mind is that each one of us should share our spiritual experience with others, both by the lives that we live, in the words that we speak, and the deeds that we do. John wrote this letter so that he could share Christ with us. From Abram to Christ, for 2,000 years, the word of God was entrusted to Abraham and his descendants. It was given by God to various people for their guidance. And most of the time, the Jewish nation was very careful to honor the word of God. However, they made a few mistakes. I'll remind you of three. They attempted to use the Ark of the Covenant as a weapon against enemies instead of following God's word. Then they lost the book of the law, probably Deuteronomy, and by chance recovered it when Josiah was king. By the time God sent his son about 2,000 years ago, they traded in the reverence of the law for a way of helping their own personal life. However, God's word was still shared among the Hebrew people, and it was a beacon to a dark world that other people could see. However, the Jewish people rarely went outside of their nation to proclaim God to others. The vast majority of prophets from Isaiah to Malachi prophesied to the Hebrew people. Jonah was an exception. And you know from hearing it in the beginning, Jonah was not an enthusiastic missionary. Today, the Catholic Church continues this tradition, rarely proclaiming God to the general population, but emphasizing that other Catholics who have fallen away from the faith should return to true Catholic worship. Many missionaries present the Word of God to blessed and varied people. We have seen that with three missionary families in the past 3 weeks. The Jewish nation does not follow that path, and it is rare that a Jewish person shares the Word of God with others not in the faith. But Jewish people who have had their traditional ways unlocked will do so. All right, back to 1 John. As I look ahead through this letter, I see John had five purposes for sharing. First, in verse 3, he brings up the word fellowship, an important word in the vocabulary of a Christian. Fellowship does not mean food. It means to have in common. Before our new life, which God has given us, we were sinners and had nothing in common with a holy God. Because Jesus paid the price for our sins, God has forgiven us. He has made us holy. He's taken us into his family as adopted children. What a miracle. Jesus was a man, and by faith we may receive the very nature of God. Christians have a genuine fellowship with God and with each other. This is the first purpose John mentions for the writing of his letter, the sharing of your individual experience of eternal life. Second, in verse 4, John brings out that the new life plus fellowship is the answer to the loneliness of life. In this letter, John uses the word joy only once, but the idea of joy is throughout the entire letter. Joy cannot be manufactured by ourselves. Joy is the wonderful byproduct of our fellowship with God. In Psalm 16, verse 11, David knew the joy that John talked about here when he said, "In thy presence is fullness of joy." Keeping it simple, sin looks good, but it always produces sorrow. The pleasures of sin are temporary, but the joy of being in fellowship with God is forever. The night before Jesus was crucified, he told the apostles, "These things have I spoken to you, unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." And that's from John 15:11. Many political leaders today want to abolish all religions. But John says, Jesus Christ gives you joy. It can never be duplicated by the world. I want to share it with you. The third point John brings out is that we have this new life within us so that we may not sin. John faces the problem of sin squarely and tells us the answer, the person and the work of Jesus Christ. He not only died and took the penalty for our sins upon him, but he rose from the dead to intercede for us at the throne of God. And he wrote, "If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." And that's from 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. Christ is our representative. He's our lawyer. Satan may accuse us, but Christ stands there as our advocate. He pleads on our behalf. In response to his intercession, God's answer is always continuing forgiveness. This new life that is within us is the life of victory. And John tells us how to experience victory over temptation and sin. The fourth thing that we learn from John's letter is that it was written that we may not be deceived. I'm going to read chapter 2, verses 26 and 27. "These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him." Today, many false doctrines come into our lives more than at any time in history. Many men and women seem to be willing to accept almost any teaching except the truths of the Bible. John uses the word that no other writer writes, no other writer used, Antichrist. This could mean against Christ or instead of Christ. In this world, teachers of lies are opposed to Christ, and they use lies liberally. They attempt to give you a substitute for Christ. They try to substitute a different salvation, and they substitute a different Bible. Their objective is to give you something other than the real Word of God and real eternal life. The devil leads people astray with half-truths and with outright lies. Today, Satan uses false religious groups to spread his lies. Not every person who stands in the pulpit is preaching the truth of the Word of God. False preachers and false teachers have always been among the devil's favorite and most effective tools. The Holy Spirit within us is the answer to this problem. In 1 John, he tells us in chapter 3, verse 7, "Little children, let no one deceive you." And in chapter 4, verse 1, he wrote, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Don't be deceived. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. The Holy Spirit enables us to detect truth and error, and it allows us to abide in Christ. The Holy Spirit is our protection against ignorance, deception, and untruth. John will bring this up many times in his epistle. The fifth thing that John brings out is that he wrote this letter that we may know we are saved. I brought this up before, but I'll bring it up again because it's important. The new life is built on assurance from God. It is not built on the empty hopes or wishes which are based on human thought. The word know, K-N-O-W, appears more than 30 times in this letter. When someone asks if you are going to heaven, don't answer, I hope so, or I think so. Truth is, you know. There is no doubt whatsoever. The new life is real. It is a free and exciting life because it is based on the knowledge of solid facts. And John, in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In 2 Peter, Peter wrote, we have not followed cunningly devised fables. These men who died for their faith did not give their lives for a clever hoax which somebody had invented. They knew what they had seen. John is saying in this letter, I want you to be sure and know that you have eternal life. In this letter, John frequently repeats himself. Same idea over and over. In the first couple chapters of his letter, John weaves three themes throughout: obedience, love, and truth. He emphasizes fellowship. In the second part of the letter, John deals primarily with sonship. We are born of God. And how does a person know he is a child of God? As he tells us, we are children of God because of obedience, love, and truth. Each one of us has a personality patterned after God. With our mind, we think. With our heart, we feel emotion. And with our will, we make decisions. The new life contains all the elements of the personalities. A spirit-controlled mind knows and understands truth. A spirit-controlled heart feels love. A spirit-controlled will inclines us to obedience. When we talk about the new life, there is no middle ground. Each one of us has a choice to make. We are on the side of God, or we are not. The new life was revealed in Christ. It is experienced by those who trust in Christ, and it can be shared today. This life begins with sonship, being adopted by God. It continues with fellowship. We now have things in common with God. First, we are born of God. Then we walk with God. I doubt we're going to do as long a time as Enoch did, but in a way, we'll do it forever. There are two groups of people who cannot enter into the joy and the victory that we have. First, those who have never been born of God, and second, those who have rejected God and do not have fellowship with Him. Three things can get a person out of fellowship with God. First, he has disobeyed God's will. Second thing, he is not getting along with his fellow believers. The third thing, he believes where he believes a lie, and therefore he is living a lie. Once the believer discovers why he is out of fellowship with God, he should repent and confess his transgressions to the Lord, where he can claim forgiveness. No one can have a joyful fellowship with the Lord when Satan stands between them. Next week, I will continue and touch on two very important things: walking and talking. And that's not just two simple seven-letter words. I'm not going to ask anybody if they understood everything that was in the Bible the first time they heard it. I'll tell you this, I didn't. I got a few concepts, and it's taken 35 years to move to where I am comfortable with my status. And no, it's not perfect, and I know it.